This person broke in?
Broke into my house, just like a hoodie on, was just literally staring at me. Not one person came out. Not one person. And I could never even redo that scream that I scrumped.
Was that a word? Scrumped.
No one ever wants to know how you're really doing. And I was like, noted. I always used to joke. I'd be like, I'm enough for two people. I'm a handful. I have this personality. I'm big. I'm vibrant. I'm all of these things. Oh, Shy's going to do it. Shy's going to say this. Shy'll be fine. And like, I don't have to come to Shy's birthday. Shy's not going to care. Now I give a f***. Show up for me like how I show up for you. You know what I'm saying? Now I care. And now it's been a problem lately. But here we are. So my life has just been a roller coaster. I've been touring with my podcast. So I've just been on a roll, honestly. I've just been rolling. Vibing. Single. Oh, no. Shit. I said I wasn't. Am I pretty?
You're so beautiful. 29 was probably the worst year of my life. And then when I turned 30, things started to turn around. But I was so desperate to get out of the bad that I think I made it worse for myself by constantly looking for saviors.
I wish I was in a different situation. I wish it was a different outcome, you know?
What are you specifically wishing for?
Yeah, I wish I wasn't broken up, you know? If I'm going to be completely transparent and honest, I wish I was just continuing to be in a relationship, if I'm going to be honest, you know?
I think that's the wrong wish. All right, what's up, everyone?
Hey, lovers.
Welcome to a special class I'm affectionately calling, How Do You Know Things Won't Be This Shitty in Your Life Forever? This week, Shy Fontanette from the popular podcast Behind the Likes joins us on Lovers to share how she's doing post-breakup. And she doesn't just share, she shows us. And I just want to say thank you to her for being so vulnerable. She was shared the podcast in advance to make sure she was comfortable with it going out because it is quite emotional. And she is happy to be sharing with all of you, which is why I'm really happy to be sharing not just her story, but the lessons that I think that her story can inspire.
You believe it's magic.
So I feel really grateful to have been able to see her. But truth of the matter is, I have actually seen Shy before. She's worked with Jared a couple of times. She's even been to our house before to shoot a music video.
Pull up on the hills one time. You ain't got to stress on time. I could probably hit it in a booth right now. BBS diamonds all in my mouth.
But again, I feel like this is the first time that we genuinely got to connect. And I connected with her in a very deep way. This might seem kind of strange, but over the past 4 years, there's been a lot of times in my life where I have almost wanted to bottle up the moment or take a picture of it that I could go back in time and send to my younger self as proof that things will work out. As many of you who have been part of this journey with me know, I have been quite candid about my journey and the fact that my journey happened a little later in life than most people's, and it was easy to lose faith and my footing along the way. But I wish that I had what I'm hoping that I can give Shy today, which is hope that things are going to work out. And I don't just want to offer that to Shy. I want to offer it to everybody here. Anybody who is going through a very dark time in your life, hopefully Shy's story and the class we're going to talk about afterwards will help you find some meaning in the mess and remind you that you're going to get through this. And I know that's a very difficult thing to believe from a person who doesn't have a crystal ball sitting on their desk, but I will place my bets that you are going to get through this, because even by you being here, you're already refusing to fall for what Daniel Kahneman actually calls a big fallacy. What you see is all there is. This is a bias that tricks our brain into believing that our current reality is our entire story. And resisting that bias means remembering that your surroundings are not your reflection. They're just your circumstances.
Okay.
Now, some of those circumstances are shaped by your choices, but a lot of them are not. And we know this because when we see a super affluent individual, yeah, there could be some decisions that they've made in the stock market, but more than likely, a lot of the success or the wealth that they have has nothing to do with what they did in their lifetime. And that also applies to people who are in less fortunate circumstances. A lot of the reasons you are where you are has nothing to do with who you are. So if you can't rely on your external life to tell you who you are or what's possible, what can you rely on? And no, I don't think it's your thoughts alone. Unfortunately, I'm not woo enough to fully invest myself into things like The Secret. But there is something semi-woo-woo that I think is absolutely true, and that is we are all great and infinite creators, and you are whoever you consistently choose to be. And if you're here, I already know that your resilient ass is choosing to keep trying. You are choosing to keep applying your values, your gifts, your integrities, your morals, your talents to life, even if you aren't getting results that you want, because deep down you know that you are not stuck in your story. You are rewriting it. Even though sometimes it can feel like the shitty first draft was etched in stone, you're doing what you can to grab that rock and you are rewriting it. So in this class, I want to give you some tools for how to do that. But first, I want to present to you Shai's story, which is far from a sad one at its end. To me, it's a hopeful one right in the middle. Hi. I never know how to begin these things.
Oh, we're starting?
That was my attempt at a start.
Okay.
How are you? You've been traveling. You've been working. You've been hustling. You've been growing. Mm-hmm. You've been succeeding. You've been excelling. You've been therapying.
Yeah.
It's been a great time and a not so great time at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Accurate?
Yeah. So my life has just been a roller coaster. I just came from literally, I was international, just came from Paris, London. I've been touring with my podcast I've done 3 or 4 different shows within the last 2 months. So I've just been on a roll, honestly. I've just been rolling, vibing, single. I don't even say that on my own podcast, y'all, because it's just like, I don't know. Like, when you say that out loud, it just makes it so real. So I've just been therapying. Like, I mean, you put all the nails on the head. So I've just been, you know, dealing, adjusting, readjusting. There's a lot of words I could use.
One of my favorite quotes is from Steve Jobs, and it's,
"You can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future, because believing that the dots will connect down the road will give you the confidence to follow your heart, even when it leads you off the well-worn path. And that will make all the difference."
Sometimes when you're in like these very confusing, chaotic times, because you want to get out of it so bad,
mm-hmm.
you can try to like connect the dots, like, okay, if I do this, then that will happen. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't happen, then you feel like even deeper in despair and everything kind of feels ambiguous and without meaning. But 2 years from now, you'll look back and you'll be like, oh, that's the shape I was making. And this is like actually the perfect path to get me to where I am today.
That's funny, because I literally was telling somebody else that the other day about like how we're just in this place where I'm in my 30s now, and you know, we're all still, I feel like you always are figuring it out. Like, I'm consistently figuring shit out. And I was telling my friend, I remember like 3 years ago when I did this job and why it's brought me here. So it's like, I always still have faith in knowing that whether, I know I'm walking up these stairs and I couldn't get here without the one behind me, you know? So I feel like that helps me adjust to what's happening in the present. Like, I know I'm just on this one step, but I know it's for a reason, because there's more steps to climb.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I'd share that to stay, because as soon as I turned 30, 29 was probably the worst year of my life. And then when I turned 30, things started to turn around. But mm-hmm. I was so desperate to get out of the bad mm-hmm. that I think I made it worse for myself by constantly looking for saviors.
Mm-hmm.
And then if those things didn't pan out, I would feel like, well, what is the point of all this? What's the meaning of all this suffering? But in hindsight, the advice which I gave myself is like, do exactly what you're doing right now. Keep exploring, leaning into what's working. Lean into what hurts, because that's how you heal things. And then eventually, not in a day that you can guess or from a path that you're gonna know in advance, you're just gonna look behind you and be like, oh, I actually don't feel shitty anymore.
Yeah.
We were talking about what we're gonna talk about today. And one of the things that you brought up is the difference between being in a relationship with someone that you love and someone that you actually like and that you're genuinely mm-hmm. compatible with. Can you take me into why that was something that you think is important and often overlooked for people?
When you get out of one relationship, you look at all the relationships before, and you, of course, you get in that blame game of like, all right, it must be me. I must not be good enough to love. I must not be, there must be something wrong with me, because I've been in these long-term relationships. I love a good long-term relationship, wasting my goddamn time. But I feel like,
do you really feel that?
No, everything was a lesson, and you know, everything, I learned everything, but like, yeah, bro, come on. been wasting my damn time also. But no, I was in this like 6-year relationship with someone. And before that, I was in like a 3-year relationship with someone. And the most recent one was 4-year relationship. So I have I'm a lover. Like I feel most comfortable in that environment. But yeah, I was just looking at my last relationship, not even this one, the one before that. And I'm like, I spent 6 years with this person. And I used to joke that we never had like one serious conversation. And he looked so good on paper. Like he looked like everything that I was supposed to be with at that time. Like he had money and, you know, he had like, you know, real estate, and it was Louisiana. My family loved him. He was a family person. But like there were times where I would try to get a reaction out of him, and not even like a negative one, just anything. I remember I woke up to a man staring over me. Yeah, like a man breaking into my, that's what happens when you're a bad bitch. But I woke up to a man staring over me, and I was like, I have to leave LA. So.
This person broke in?
Broke into my house. Yeah, I left like a window open, and I guess like a window, but I lived on the first floor. And so he broke into my house and was just like, I wouldn't be able to point him out in a crowd or a lineup because it looked like all black. Like he had on like all black, just like a hoodie on, was just literally staring at me. And you know how when you wake up, you're just confused? I was like, hello? Like, I don't know why that's the first thing you say. I was like, hello? Hello? And I started yelling, and he just ran. And he ran out the back. So I pictured him, like, being in my house and just, like, because you don't really see my back door. I pictured him doing, like, creepy shit like this, like, to my countertops and probably, like, and mind you, at that time, that's why I don't sleep naked anymore. I slept butt-ass naked. And so I'll never forget, I wake up to this man staring over me, and I'm yelling the top of my lungs, like, help, help. I remember being butt naked and slamming my bedroom door open and closed so like the neighbors can come out. Not one person came out, not one person. And I could never even redo that scream that I scrumped. Was that a word?
Scrumped.
But literally it was so like death wrenching. So I remember I wrote a note on everybody. I was like, I can't stay another day here. And I was like, and so I talked to him. And like, even then it was like, what can I do? You got to come to LA. We're like 5 years in at this point. I'll never forget. He looked at me and was like, you going to figure it out. I was like, you can't even get deep for this. There's, what's not fucking clicking. So I, at that point forward, I was like, I got to plan my great escape at this point. And then from there, this is a lot. And I'm getting pregnant, and I knew I wasn't keeping it, but I needed a reaction. He disappeared for 3 days. I was like, oh, this motherfucker I'm out of here. And so I started slowly but surely like packing up stuff little by little, and I'll never forget. And I still feel a little, I have to forgive myself, but I felt bad for the way that I left, but I just knew that I could no longer, this was not serving me. This relationship was not serving me. He had called me and was like, hey, you know, I'm about to cook something real quick. When you gonna be home? I was like, I'm on the freeway. I'm on the 405. I have no reaction from you, nothing. And like, at first I thought it was cool because I always used to joke. I'd be like, I'm enough for two people. I'm a handful. I have this personality. I'm big, I'm vibrant, I'm all of these things. I loved him and I thought that would be enough. And I thought that I could be enough for both of us. And I just realized it would break me down. I'd be like, I am begging. Like I would overreact sometimes to get a reaction. And there would be nothing. I am telling you, there would be nothing. I'd be like, is he autistic? But no wrongs to them. But you know, I just would question these things. And I'm just like, I don't even like, it got to a point where it's like, I don't even know if I like this person anymore. Yeah. What?
It was a lot.
It was. Grumpy going through it. I got therapy right now. And you know what's funny? I said today, I told my therapist, I was like, I'm feeling a little better. We can go to 2 times a month. I'm lying. I need it every day. This week, I'm like, I'm going through some shit. I want to hit her up and be like, hey, girl, I lied. Call me. Love ya. Miss ya, Ashley. But yeah.
But that's also the beautiful part of what you're talking about, too, is that you're figuring out what compatibility looks like for you. Mm-hmm. And you're figuring out what you need in a world that's chaotic, where your needs are constantly going to change. Mm-hmm. But just knowing that you have people who are responsive to those needs, mm-hmm. who can show up for you in the ways that you're showing up for yourself.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing for me. I feel like I've overly shown up, overly been a cheerleader for other people throughout my life. It would just be like, oh, Shy's gonna do it. Shy's gonna say this. Shy'll be fine. And like, I don't have to come to Shy's birthday. Shy's not gonna care. Now I give a fuck. Show up for me like how I show up for you. You know what I'm saying? Now I care. And now it's been a problem lately.
Well, it would be a problem because that's not the culture of those relationships.
Yeah.
But that's a part of building new relationships mm-hmm. where that's built into the basic fabric of mm-hmm. it. Or the people who actually genuinely love you and want to be in connection mm-hmm. with you, it'll be uncomfortable. Like, it is uncomfortable. If mm-hmm. you're at a job that all of a sudden, you know, you never had to show up on time and that changes,
yeah.
it's going to be an awkward transition period. But if you value that job, you'll make the change.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's... Like I said, I think that you're actually in a very beautiful time.
Thank you. And I feel like I'm grateful for my friendships that, you know, I've nurtured, because I feel like if it wasn't for my friendships and, you know, because I am out here by myself, I have family in like Rancho, but if I did not have the solid foundation of friends that I have, I would not have made it. And so I'm thankful for them, and I'm thankful that we're growing together. Because, I mean, I know it's been, everybody's been a piece of work. You know, being out here and surviving, and it's literally surviving L.A. Like I told you yesterday, I was like, the South is looking kind of glamorous. Because it's getting crazy. Why is my rent more than people's mortgage in Louisiana?
But I think that's also like a part of just the noticing of it doesn't have to be one or the other. And that mm-hmm. there is a world where something in the middle exists, because what Louisiana offers is safety
mm-hmm.
because you have people that know you and mm-hmm. that love you, who care for you, who are around. It has more stability, but it doesn't have the big picture thinkers, the big dreamers.
Yeah.
And your ex was a part of the culture that's there where you don't have to necessarily think constantly about tomorrow.
No.
You gotta think about what's for dinner today.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. That's why she is who she is. But no, that's exactly it. And this is like, the South is looking glamorous, not specifically Louisiana.
Yeah.
Because I'm grown. I don't want to go to the clubs consistently. That to me is not my go-to. Like, I feel like I've outgrown LA in a sense of like being by myself. You know, like I want like a family. I want to be married. I want children, you know? Oh no, shit, I said I wasn't. Am I pretty?
You're so beautiful.
No, but it's just that reality consistently, fuck. It's just that consistent reality of like, no matter how much I talk, I'm still not where I want to be, you know? And it's like, two things can be true. I'm doing great in my career, but like, I still want that other side. And I think I always want that other side is because of where I'm from. You know, I still want that white picket fence. I want my kids playing in a big backyard, but I still want to be successful. And I feel like right now I'm in that place where I can only have one. And it's just frustrating. God, that's so annoying. I've been crying so much on the internet lately. It's so fucking frustrating, bro. Like, I literally cried on my podcast and I was like, oh, it's just so annoying. Yeah.
I go back to the videos where I was going through that period of time between 29 and 30 so much.
Mm.
And I reference them so much. And I love her so much. Mm. And I'm so grateful for her. Like, she stayed in this city through the shit, through the critique and criticism.
I didn't know what to do with myself. And I felt lost. And I'd go into these meetings and be like, like giving my energy and like being or pretending to be the person I wanted to be. But on the inside, I felt purposeless. I felt directionless. I felt like a loser. And so she would look at me a lot of times, you know, after the meetings, because my face couldn't fake it anymore. And she would see in me that I was hurting, and she'd be like, are you okay? And, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm fine. To make matters worse, things just kept getting worse. I got really, really sick in January. I just started not feeling well all the time. Ooh. And, I was living in this dark place, and it was just like week after week of just not really feeling well and just existing in that dark room, you know, trying to feel better. Trying to feel better. I also had a photography job that I've had since I got here that I wasn't getting a lot of work from either. So financially, I was like, I was late on rent pretty much all the time. And I was like, I don't really know if I can survive in LA much longer than that. And so I guess I was just not the most fun person to be around at the time. And my boyfriend left me, or decided that, you know, it wasn't a good idea to be in a committed relationship, because I was a stressful person to be around.
And that was when you were 29?
Yeah, 29.
When did you meet Jared?
30.
30?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I got a few more months left.
But you know what's, I think what's important to know, there is somebody on a different podcast in this exact same moment who has the white picket fence in the family and doesn't know herself. Mm-hmm. She has all these unrealized dreams. Mm-hmm. She has forgotten to even ask herself what matters to her. Mm-hmm. And she's crying because she's like, how am I ever going to find my purpose in the world? How will I ever find community? How will I ever find the thing that lights me up? I think that we put this bizarre pressure for things to happen in a certain order, but I just want to acknowledge all the ways that you've made dreams come true for yourself, that you have made historical dream come trues for yourself. The fact that you're in the probably top 1% of podcasters, and you're doing it with somebody who loves you and who cares for you, and that's a healthy relationship. That was one of the things you wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, like, I know friendship inside and out, and I know that friendship can be fruitful because of what I have with Winter.
Yeah. It is. It could be. It is extremely rewarding, especially being able to do it with, you know, my best friend. And, you know, I know there's podcasts that thrive just being partners and not friends. And I cannot even understand a world where that would exist for us, because we're so intertwined and we have so much grace and understanding for one another. Because, like, imagine we show up for filming today and she knows nothing that I'm going through and I just have to put on a strong face. But it's like sometimes I need her to pick up my slack, or there are times where I have to pick up her slack. And we said this before on the podcast plenty of times, it's not always 50-50, but I know that we both give 100 in whatever we do together, you know? So I feel like that, to me, is rewarding in itself. And like I said earlier, if I ask for something and I don't ask for much, I want that reciprocation in return. I forgot where I was even fucking going with this. What was I saying?
Well, I actually think this all ties in together, because what we're really talking about is the joy of being single right now, even though it's not necessarily joyful in like an everyday feeling, but in what it's allowing you to do is a very joyful time that you're going to look back on very fondly. I can almost guarantee you that. Yeah. I can write you a postcard for the future that's going to say you're going to be so in love with and grateful to this version of yourself who is doing all the hard work, having the shitty conversations, crying because you feel it consistently. You know, booking extra time with your therapist, you know, making those investments in yourself. Yesterday, after we got off the phone, I was talking to Jared about what we might talk about and just brainstorming. And Jared's like, oh, I hope that she is able to come and bring all of it, because it's such a gift to be able to be in process and share the process. Because so many people will talk about it after they're through it and it will never really be the same. And you can almost promise yourself you're going to get through it because you are so resilient. The things that you've overcome, your history, everything about you says that you should not have any fear that this is just a phase. So I think you should give yourself permission to feel through this phase, be honest about this phase. That's also the gift that you're giving the world.
I thought we were done with the tissue. God damn. Oh my God, this was so... I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
I shouldn't have...
What hits a button for you?
Nothing. I just feel like, God, this is so fucking weird. Like, remember when Kiki Palmer had that show and Karrueche came on and she started crying about Chris Brown?
No.
No, and Kiki Palmer was very, like, you're just so sweet the way you talk. I love Kiki Palmer. When Karrueche was crying, Kiki was like, it's all right, baby. It's all right, baby. And I just feel like the way that you're even talking to me is just like, I don't know. It just, it's so fucking annoying. And I know this is crazy because he's such a quiet person. I don't want to go on a talk about him or that or anything like that. It's just like, I wish it was a different outcome, you know?
God damn. My dad always says, don't waste a wish. You know, sometimes you'd be like, oh, like, I wish it was sunny today. It's like, if you had a wish, don't waste it on that.
Why waste it on that? Yeah.
Yeah. What are you specifically wishing for?
Yeah, I wish I wasn't broken up. This is like my third serious relationship. So I was like, this is the one. They say the first one is love. The second one is trial and error. And the third one is it.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, I'm done. You know, if I'm going to be completely transparent and honest, I wish I was just continuing to be in a relationship. If I'm going to be honest, you know,
I think that's the wrong wish.
Hi, lovers. Pardon the interruption, but I had to tell you the news. So last month I told you I signed up for Function Health. I actually just came back from my first visit to the doctor's office, did my first round of blood work. And listen, I was in and out in 20 minutes. I am swamped right now preparing for a trip to Cyprus. So time is of the essence and everybody there was so caring, so kind, and best part of all, I'm gonna start getting my results in the next couple of days. Don't worry, I'm gonna share everything with you because I want us to be on this journey together. So what is Function Health and why is it so incredible? With the help of over 2,000 lab locations, they test over 100 biomarkers, everything from heart and hormones to toxins, stress, and inflammation. This is why they are backed by top health leaders like Dr. Mark Hyman, Dr. Andrew Huberman, and Dr. Jeremy London. Look, if like me, you're ready to see what is really going on inside of your body, I have an offer for you that you can't refuse. The first 1,000 people to sign up get a $100 credit towards their membership. All you have to do is go to functionhealth.com/loversbyshan. Again, that's functionhealth.com/loversbyshan, or simply put in code LOVERS100 at checkout. We're in this together, guys. And speaking of being together, let's go back to the episode.
That was something. I hate that I'm making it all about like a relationship, but like that's just transparency is what I'm going through. And it's like every single day, like I have to show up every single time I go on a tour, every time I go on the stage, like I have to show up as my best self. And I'm like, you know, if I'm gonna be completely transparent and honest, I wish I wasn't crying. I wish I didn't have to deal with me figuring out my life.
Your job is not to be your best self. It's to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I met you as a model,
mm-hmm.
right, from Jared.
Mm-hmm.
I think models have to show up as their best self.
Yeah.
Right, that career is
consistently.
Like...
I remember one time I had this audition for a Ray-Ban, but I had like a rough day, like not even like a bad mental day, but just like I got pulled over by the police. I had to climb up this whole flight of stairs. I had so much that I had to do that day. And I remember going to the casting director for Ray-Ban, and he was like, how's your day? And I was like, fucking horrible. Like, I had showed my whole person. I went in. I was just like, yeah, I had to do this. And they were, like, laughing. It was engaging. It was funny. I will never forget. I got a call from my agency, and they were like, what the hell did you go in there doing? They said you were unprofessional. They said you complained. They said, and I was like, I thought I was cracking jokes. I thought we was all vibing. They were like, no one ever wants to know how you're really doing. And I was like, noted. But I mean, no, I'll never forget that one instance where it was the Ray-Bans. I was like, you know what? I'm not supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
So, not supporting Ray-Ban.
End of a story, yeah. Ending with a boycott over a casting director who was hired for that day only.
Yeah, they wanted to tattletale on me, little rat heads, whoop-de-doo, you know, like. I didn't realize I was that friend or that cousin or that aunt who you have to tell other people about. She might say something a little crazy. Until I heard one of my nephews saying that to one of their friends when he was about to walk in. And I was like, me? Say something crazy? No. But I do.
You do.
I do.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you gave me such a great aha there, actually, because I think many people exist in jobs where they have to show up as their best selves.
Mm-hmm.
The gift is being able to show up as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. I think many people exist in romantic relationships where they have to show up as their best selves.
Mm.
I think the genuine gift and goal is to show up somewhere where you get to be yourself.
Yeah.
And I think about that in regards to those two big moments that you shared of, one, the break-in,
mm-hmm.
and two, getting pregnant. Mm. And in both of those, what I think is good sometimes about the gift of big scenarios is there's not a lot of ambiguity. When something is small, we talked about this yesterday on the phone too.
Mm.
When something is small, you can almost rationalize your feelings away.
Mm.
But in those big moments, it's very obvious that what you needed was protection. And in both cases, you fled for your own safety because you realized that where you were, nobody was going to protect you.
Mm.
So you were in LA and you were almost violated.
Mm.
You looked for safety. Nobody could help you. So you fled to Louisiana.
Mm.
You're in Louisiana. You end up pregnant, which whether or not you're gonna keep the baby or not, all of your motherly instincts come into play. And you're like, I have to protect myself and this baby, and I can't rely on this person to even be in touch with their own emotions in reality. So how can they protect me and my child from mine?
Yeah.
I have to leave. Mm. And that's your best self.
Yeah.
Your best self is that you know that you're the friend who will be there for people, who will get shit done, even when things are hard. You'll be a protector. You'll be a provider. That is your best self. But romantic relationships that require you to always be that all the time because they can't step in for you, I don't feel like that's the future you deserve.
I agree. Aligning with that moving forward, my therapist has been telling me that, what did she say? She said that I explain everything because I feel so misunderstood all the time. She's like, you're always explaining things and it's just like, it's okay. If she's like, you're explaining to me why you did what you did. And she's like, I understood the moment you said it. I understood the moment. And it's just like me being okay with not having to explain things consistently and just being like, it is what it is. Because I always do feel misunderstood sometimes. And I'm like, not even misunderstood in like a rebellious way, but it's just like, I know where I'm coming from. I know my thought process. I know that why I reacted defensively is because of some shit that you said to me first, and I feel like I had to defend myself.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I just think it's, like, rewiring that as well. I think I'm doing a lot of rewiring and a lot of just growing right now, and it is probably a blessing that I'm going through this phase in this relationship or lack thereof, because I have to really look at myself in the mirror and be like, where am I at right now? Why are we right here? And what role do I play in it, you know? I get a little flack sometimes because I think I'm more logical. And, you know, I'm not as wouldn't be able to tell right now because I'm just emotional.
You're like, I'm not emotional.
I swear.
Rewind the tape.
Rewind the tape, literally. But I'm really not. I literally am not even a crier. I'm really not. Like, I'm really not that emotional of a person. Like, I really move with logic. And that's why I say I misunderstood a lot, because it'd be like, okay, well, how do we get to the solution? I'm solution-based a lot of the times. And, like, lately I've just been sitting in these emotions, and I'm like, this is a whole new, like, uncharted territory for me that I do not understand. Like, my last relationship, the one that I was in for 6 years, when I'm telling you, 2 weeks, cried 2 tears in a bucket and said, fuck it, literally. This one, I'm like, I do not know how to exist. I should not have said yes to this podcast. Oh my God, this is fucking crazy. I do not know how to exist in these emotions. God, this is crazy. Let me put this shit right back here.
I don't care if it's ugly. I think that what you're sharing is beautiful, relatable, and optimistic.
Is it?
Here's where I would go if you asked my advice, but you didn't. So let's be clear about that.
Okay. I would like your advice.
Okay, thanks. I would say you're trying to rewire your nervous system and you rewire your life mm-hmm. to embrace you.
Yeah.
As all that you are. I feel like for a very long time, your world has been based on you needing to be your best self.
Yeah, consistently show up all the time.
But I have heard you say a few examples of relationships that haven't been romantic, of evidence that always isn't the truth. That there are times where you just get to be yourself and somebody understands you, somebody loves you, somebody fills in the gap, somebody protects you. And if you continue to collect that evidence that it's possible, like it's actually possible for me to feel comfortable in a relationship because me and my best friend have done this really hard thing mm-hmm. and we continue to show up for each other and it's working.
Yeah.
Your therapist, like that's an amazing gift that she gave you of like, I understood you. You yeah. didn't have to overexplain. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, there are people who are smart up there.
Yeah, yeah. What?
You exist.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like people are so used to me being at 100. So when I'm, right now, I'm feeling like all this fucking crime, dude, I'm at like a 30. I'm at like a 20. And it's just like, I like to like isolate when I feel like that. I like to feel, and I'm like, I've been feeling like that every single day for like 4 months now. And I can't fucking isolate for 4 months. I have a business to run. I have shit to do. I have people who love me and who talk me out of these dark spaces. And, you know, one of my best friends, Lindsay, shout out to Lindsay. I was calling her the other day and just like, you know, in like a little bit of a funk, but I don't normally like to do that with people because I understand how energy exchange is a real thing. She was like, fuck all of them. Like, she was just like, you are who you think you are. And it's a constant reminder. And I have four older sisters who like, maybe not have coddled me in a sense, but like I have had a safety net with them. And my mom, like, she's been like my bestie, you know, my dad, like, you know, I have good people in my corner. I'm surrounded by love and like, so I don't know. I just feel like I'm just, whatever, here we are. I've cried a million tears. Hopefully they're in a bucket and I'm gonna say fuck it the rest of this interview. But I don't know, just looking at your pretty face and you just, your discernment and the way you speak so calmly, it's just like, I feel like this is another therapy session and I've yet to not cry in one.
So okay. Well, that's good.
I feel like, I don't know, it just feels so, it feels very open and I like that you leave room for vulnerability, you know? And it just is very, it's like a safe space.
Thanks for the Yelp review.
Yeah, no, it's a very safe space. That's why you. I keep crying, bro. Like, I feel like even on my podcast sometimes it's not a fucking safe space. I know that they're going to be crazy in the comments, but no, a lot of people show love, so.
Yes.
Shout out to them as well. So many people show love to us in that space and place. But, like, yeah, no, it's just, I know that, like, it's constantly me feeling like I have to show up and be my best self, you know? It's like my own detriment, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
But you just need to keep proving yourself wrong.
Yeah.
And leaning into the relationships that are helping you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the advice I wish I gave myself. I think when I was in my time, I kept looking for the next thing to save me and like fix it. Whether that be a romantic relationship, whether that be a job that was big for me, a job.
Yeah.
I would go into every meeting being like, save me.
Yeah.
Help me.
Help me.
Yeah.
Please.
I have to leave my sublease apartment because I can't afford to fix that door.
Oh my God, what?
Yeah. So, but I had an aunt from Florida who ended up wiring me some money and co-signing me so I could actually get a new place.
Mm-hmm.
That place ended up being such an amazing space for creativity to happen. I restarted my YouTube channel.
Nice.
Invited this guy over. He came over to my spot and literally before he came in was like, I think she might be a catfish because this apartment looks crazy.
Yeah.
But it was my apartment.
Yeah.
And he knocked on the door and came in and I had made it beautiful on the inside, even though the outside didn't represent it. I had to leave that apartment later because I had bed bugs because it was that kind of building. But
where was it at?
In Hollywood.
Oh, Hollywood will do it to you.
Yeah. But I think the thing that I wish I did, rather than looking for the next thing to fix me, of being like looking for evidence that it's naturally going to happen.
Mm.
Okay, maybe I didn't get that job, but there's been enough times in my life that people have believed in me. I actually think I'm really good at what I do. I actually do think I'm lovable. Mm. I am able to build relationships and friendships because I do have that person who stuck around through all this. So if you were to imagine how good love can get, not based off of fantasy, but your lived reality, like I know love can be about complete understanding and peace because I have that with my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
I know that love can push me to my greatest self in my career and it support my aspirations because I have that with my best friend, Winter, one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
But can you do that for me of like, imagine how good love can get in the future and give me evidence of why that's actually true based on your experience right now.
No, I'm lost. I'm just kidding.
Does that make sense?
We're gonna pause here for a second and we're gonna talk about the to feel wheel. Everybody in the class, you have already done this exercise a million times with me, but it might be new to some of you and it was new to Shy today because when words aren't working, that's what tools and resources are for. And you guys know that I love me a tool and resource. And there are few that I love more than our lover's feelings wheel. The lover's feelings wheel is basically built off of the premise that when we're trying to call into our dream anything, our dream life, our dream love life, our dream family life, oftentimes we get stuck in chasing a to have list. We want to have a husband. We want to have kids. We want to have the big house, but how are we gonna feel when we're in the right circumstance with the right person? Because you can have these things and still feel empty and sad and lonely and undervalued. So a better way to map to make sure that you are on the correct timeline, that you are customizing your dream life, not just the dream life, is to focus on the feelings. So I asked Shai to really reflect. If she was trying to envision her life on a random Tuesday with her dream partner, how would she feel on that day? Now, when you do this, you're dreaming from familiar data. This not only helps you recognize when something good shows up, it also reminds you that your life isn't all doom and gloom. You've already experienced pieces of what you're asking for. You're just asking for more of it.
Three things I wanna feel valued, whimsical. I love women that are whimsical. and support it. Is that all kind of similar a little bit?
No. I love the word whimsy first and foremost. I think it's one of my favorite words. And so I love that you picked it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking about this. So we were in this airport yesterday that had so much whimsy.
Mm-hmm.
And whimsy is like just because joy.
Yes, exactly. Just to me too. Just because joy. Like I love that just, and that's why I feel like I really, you know, don't mean to sound like a creep or anything, but I enjoy like watching you and I watch your dynamic because I feel like, to me, you give whimsical. You're unapologetically you. You don't have the norm of what like women are supposed to talk about, the education that, like, you know, you just have, I just think you're just whimsical to me, you know?
Oh, thank you.
I do. I think that, and I think that's a compliment. I love finding like the joy in little things. Like that's why, like, I remember when I first came to LA, and I'd be like, I can't have a bad day because every time I drive down the freeway, it's like mountains. And I'm like, oh, I love the mountains. Or like, I love little things like when my hair blows in the wind and I just feel carefree, you know? I love whimsical things, you know?
Yeah, and having somebody who sees that in you and appreciates it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, just,
not the things that are functional or that necessarily serve them, but mm-hmm. just the parts of you that are unattached from a result that they just value.
Yeah. That they just, that they appreciate. It's like the little quirky things, you know? Yeah.
Welcome back. I just want to say one more huge thank you to Shy and to encourage everyone, go and listen to her podcast, Behind the Likes, with her best friend, Winter. The two of them are so magnetic and funny. She actually had horrible decisions on her podcast really recently, and she talked about her breakup there. So I want to applaud her for her vulnerability and her bravery, for showing different parts of herself, but mostly for showing up for herself, and of course, for showing up here on Lovers. You can go to the show notes to find all of the ways that you can interact with her, show her love, show her a message of encouragement. And with that to be said, I want to turn to my Lovers community right now and know what came up for you. You know, what would you say to Shy right now if you were sitting across from her?
Start the process of really getting to know who you are, not who you've been trained to be. There's a lot of debunking that needs to take place. This is why I believe that it was beautiful that this is a self-awareness, kind of like a self-awareness assessment, how people take those different tests to know who they are. But you need to dive a little bit deeper because that's the only way that you are going to create a life that is in alignment with that thing that you need in your life to overcome. You won't know it unless you really start to take stock and inventory of your life, looking at the experiences that you don't want, looking at the experiences that you do want, and seeing how you can move that forward. Like, and also support, find support. Don't be ashamed to reach out, which was my problem. I was ashamed because I've always been known as the perfectionist, the person to go to, as she mentioned she was in the episode. And I had to, I guess, go into a state of humility to open my heart to support or even asking for support. Like, I literally didn't even know how to ask for help.
I also thought it was interesting that around 29, 30, I also felt the same way. So it was like a universal age of that stuff. So I was like, okay, her too, me too, Shan too. Like,
let's talk about how do you know things won't be this shitty forever? Notice I didn't call this class how to make things stop being shitty, how to save yourself from the shit, because that's going to be a customized experience that no one's going to know. And going back to that Steve Jobs quote, you can't connect the dots looking forward. I can't promise you that this phone call or this action or this dating app is going to get you out of whatever your personal hell is right now. But I can reflect back on the time that I went through and some of the tools that I did utilize and the ones that I didn't that helped me to have the faith that I was on my way out, even if I didn't know what the other side would have coming with it. So to know or to have the faith, I think what you should really focus on is one, the feelings are the goal. We're gonna go over our feelings wheel for that. Two, getting the help that you can afford. We talked a lot about help in this video, and of course there's a monetary aspect to that in the form of getting help from a licensed therapist. But also there is an emotional payment that can often be had when we're in these times of need that we have to be mindful of. So ensuring that we are not just asking for help, but we're asking for help from people who joyfully want to give it and don't want to take more from us than we can actually afford right now. Third is the goal is the action, not the outcome. This can be really hard to do when you're just trying to get out of your circumstances, but you can't control what the outcome is going to be, but you can control the ways that you show up. You can control the consistency that you put forth towards life. You know that I've shared this many times before. The recipe for trust is time plus consistency. And sometimes in these dark times, the best thing that we can do is build trust with ourselves. Trust in knowing that we can do the right thing, even in our hardest of times, or trust that we know that we can give ourselves a break when we genuinely don't have the capacity. So making the goal the action, not the outcome, is something that I'm so grateful that I did do. One of the few things that I really did do extremely well during that time. And lastly, let's talk about not being afraid to give up on your goal. Kind of the beauty, and I know I kept saying this to Shai, and it can seem maybe trauma pornish in some ways, that I find the time that she's in quite beautiful. I find the time that she's in quite inspiring. And obviously I can only say that in hindsight, but there is a beauty in being in this time of extreme examination. When nothing is working, you have to look at and examine every single thing. You have to ask yourselves hard questions. And through that, you genuinely figure out who you are and what you need. And again, if you really rely on these tools to get you there and the tools that you have in your life and the tools that you can afford, I think that you can come out of this time a better, more connected, more genuine version of yourself. All right, let's dive actually into the lesson plan here. And the first grounding lesson, the one that I hope everyone really sinks their teeth into, is that it's important to manifest from feelings, not fiction. And this is because when people dream, especially when they're dreaming of getting out of the life that they're currently in, what they tend to do is imagine fiction, things that they've never experienced before, and they try to move towards these elusive, big, grand goals. Now, this can make these goals feel distant, a little unrealistic, and also it can lead you to not focusing on the details of how you get there because you're so focused on that big picture. So instead, try manifesting from the feelings that you've already known and had. And the goal is just to feel that way again. So when you base your vision on something you've already experienced, you create a map grounded in reality, and your body already knows what kind of joy or safety or what love feels like. Even if the packaging doesn't necessarily look like it's getting you closer to your goal, just by virtue of putting yourself in safe spaces, you are. Interestingly, when I was in my really hard time, my dark time, I actually created a to-feel list.
Proud of me, partner in progression, a family member, somebody who's proud to be with me, somebody who makes me feel good, somebody who I find inspiring, supportive.
Now, if creating a to-feel list feels a little elusive, heady, hard to grasp for you, this is precisely why we made a resource that's free for everybody within the Lovers community. Go to loversbyshan.com to sign up. And in essence, once you start the activity, you'll also be prompted to answer three questions after you've identified the feelings that you want to feel in your next right thing, your next right step. And those questions are, why do I want to feel that way? When have I felt that way in the past? And don't give me a summary, give me a story. Take me into the precise moment that you have felt that way in the past. And lastly, do I want to feel or heal that? Now, for everyone in the Lovers community, we're gonna keep going through the rest of the list, but for all of you watching right now, I actually think this is a good place to take a pause and stop. If you just focused on this exercise alone, I think that that will be enough. And if you feel like you still wanted more and wanted to hear the rest of this class, then you know where to go. Go to loversbyshan.com. Thanks for joining us for this episode. And again, shout out to Shai for bringing it, all of it. It was deeply appreciated. Mm-hmm.